I mean, I think it's going to be a very good football game. I mean, I think both teams are obviously very aware of what the situation is, and I think it's going to be a good game.
J.J. Watt still has a club on his right hand and a red beard on his face. He's not shaving it despite the loss. So what do we make of J.J. Watt? How much can you really tell? How much was he hindered last week because of the hand? Before we go, this is Tanya. This is Dale. But Dale, let's start with you, Tanya. What was the hindrance there? Did you see?
Well, the big hindrance is that he can't grab anything. So it's harder to shed blocks. It's harder to make tackles. And I think that it was something that he didn't think would be as big of a deal as it wound up being, because he wasn't wearing the club during the week. He gets that cast put on specifically for the games, has his whole hand wrapped up, takes it off right after the game, gets a new cast with his fingers out. And I think that it affected him more than he thought it would, because leading up to that game, he said, it's not going to affect me at all. I'm not going to have to do anything differently.
Still managed to be disruptive, didn't get the stats necessarily, but was perpetually in the backfield, you know, messing some things up. What did you see, though, Dale?
Well, one of J.J.'s greatest strengths is he has tremendously strong hands and tremendously strong upper body. I mean, you know, he moves people away, but he's not strong enough to do that one-handed, so it's a huge hindrance. And, of course, knowing J.J., what else is he going to say? Of course it's not going to bother me. I'm J.J. I mean, that's who he is. He would never say, oh, well, let's do the best I can. But there is no question. He's more than half a man, but he's definitely diminished from the guy, you know, who he is when he's healthy. And also you have to factor in the fact that I still think he's bothered by that groin.
Yeah.
But J.J.'s not a guy to talk about that stuff, so that kind of went away when the hand got broken.
And on top of all that, I'm pretty sure it's gotten more sophisticated in terms of the blocking schemes he's been seeing, Buffalo, especially last week against Belichick. He's routinely having to slalom through at least two, sometimes three guys.
And if you can't use both hands, you basically got to bull rush your way through. And when you're being double teamed, that's almost impossible.
Yeah.
It's the hands. We throw guys out of the way, he can't do.
But on the flip side of things, we're starting to see the Jadeveon Clowney that the Texans envisioned and saw when they took him first overall in 2014.
Yeah, I've heard this mentioned. You know, you think about J.J. Watt's rookie year, and this is basically Clowney's rookie year. He only played in four games and wasn't really himself for most of those games. J.J. Watt took a while in that rookie season to get comfortable and to figure out what he was doing and to start to become the player that he is now. And so I think you're starting to see a similar arc for Clowney. Now, is he going to get to the level of J.J. Watt? We don't know. But it is really encouraging to see what he's been doing the last few weeks, because we've all seen him be disruptive, but now he's getting there. He's getting those stats that he wasn't early on.
And Tanya brings up a great point, because coincidentally, in 2011, when J.J. Watt and the Texans went to Indianapolis, he was a force, and he was on the wrong end of some flags in that one, but he was in the backfield. He was the J.J. Watt we see now, but it was happening in that game, and we hadn't seen that to that point in the season. He had a nice, solid rookie year, but he busted out and was
just that was really kind of where it all started for him.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and he's got a little extra motivation going right now, because Khalil Mack in Oakland has taken off. He's just gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Had five sacks in the game Sunday in Denver. So if I'm Clowney, he would never admit to this, but I'm watching that guy. I'm seeing what he's doing. And, of course, he hasn't been hurt, but he's already got 18 sacks, you know, not even two seasons into his career. And he was the guy taken behind Clowney, and there are a lot of people here, I think, in Houston that weren't sure that he wasn't maybe the better pick. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know how J.D. thinks, but he's got to be looking at that.
Yeah, it's definitely a point of motivation for sure. All right, we've got a lot more of Texans extra points to get to, but first, John Harris has a fantasy update for you.
It is fantasy football playoff time, and I got three value plays for you, whether you're playing FanDuel or you are approaching the playoffs. So let's start with a running back. He used to be a quarterback in college, but he's done a really nice job the last few weeks as the running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's Denard Robinson. And with T.J. Yeldon hurt, Denard Robinson is going to be a huge waiver wire pickup for you. And on FanDuel, he's $6,300. That's ultra cheap for what you can get from a dual threat running back, Denard Robinson, at home against Atlanta. Atlanta's fading, Jacksonville's not. He's the guy to go with. And then we're going to go to Seattle for wide receiver Doug Baldwin going against Cleveland at home. Russell Wilson's been on fire, and his big guy has been Doug Baldwin at $7,400. That's really good value on FanDuel for a wide receiver. And for the last one, we're going to stay with Seattle. It's defense against Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns. Now, you know Johnny Football is going to do some magical things. He always does, but he's prone to turn the ball over and not put the ball in the end zone. That leads to points for your defense. So let's go with Seattle's defense at $5,400 on FanDuel. Let's pick them up. And for some reason, if you got a waiver wire pickup, and Seattle's the place to go. We'll be right back after this.